question, do you know George Washington? The first president? You don't know him? What do you know about him? You know, he was a very, very interesting man. And this year, some of you know, is the 250th anniversary of our nation's founding. And being the first president, we know a lot about him, right? Know a lot about the things that he did, the military accomplishments, the fact that he didn't want to be king and refused the role and finally was called back. Interesting thing was, you know, as I was reading up on the history, that from 1776 to 1789, obviously the War of Independence was in that, but there was the Congressional Congress ran the country. Can you imagine the Congress of the United States leading and running the country for 13 years? Scary proposition. But then they elected him, or told him, you shall be president, and he served two terms. But the question is, the reason I ask that is, like, we know a lot about him, but do you know George Washington? Do you know what he was like? Do you know his characteristics, his what inspired him, what he enjoyed to do, what he did when he went to Mount Vernon and relaxed? And do you know about him? Well, obviously, no. We are far removed from his life, and we don't know him. And today really is an introduction into the series that I want to start this year, to start the first few months, or first 6 or 7 weeks of this year, called Knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus. And I frequently ask this question. When we go on mission trips, or we do door-to-door evangelism, and we go out and share the gospel with people, we knock on doors and we say, do you know Jesus? And I think people are wise to that question, because they say, yes, I know Jesus. And we're like, great, you're saved, goodbye. And they've got rid of us, right? The reality is their lifestyle, their choices of life, their things that they're doing don't reveal that they know Jesus. Do you really know Jesus? And then the question is he knowable? Is it possible to know Jesus? One of the biggest problems, I believe, in the Western church today is that we've adopted this system of doing church, a religious system of doing church that can only be described as secondhand Christianity. And when I say secondhand Christianity, I mean no Christianity at all, really. What I mean by this is that we as a culture, we've made a Christianity a set of things to do. Trying to get this to not pop too much. A set of things to do. Go to church, read your Bible, pray daily, give to the church, give to poor, and if you really are a strong Christian, you'd go on a mission trip or something. You know, you're really radical. But these are all things to do. None of these indicate a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we won't admit this, but the vast majority of churchgoers, they want the pastor to have a close relationship with Jesus. They want the pastor to have a, like I did, to have a time with the Lord and just hearing from the Lord, waiting on the Lord. But then you're the pastor, so you go and spend time with the Lord, then come back on Sunday and tell us what he told us, or tell us what he wants to say to us. But we don't want to go through the effort of really getting radical and waiting on the Lord for ourselves. No. That's why we pay the pastor, right? No, we don't say that, right? But a lot of people have that mentality. No, I go to church. Your job is to hear from the Lord and come and speak to me about him. Well, that reminds me of a time in the Bible when the children of Israel did the same thing. In Exodus 20, you remember the story? The children of Israel came to Mount Sinai, and God was about to give the law to Moses, and they all were gathered around the mountain, and God showed up in power and authority, and the people were terrified. And in Exodus 20, verse 19, the people said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die." How did that work out for them? Of all of those people that were around that mountain that day, only two survived and went into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. We can be guilty of focusing on so much of the things that God has done, that Jesus has done, that we actually miss the opportunity of knowing Jesus, of the relationship with Him. And He invites us to know Him, to know Him. On Christmas Eve, we looked at the greatest gift that God has given, the great gift of how God sent His Son. God sent His Son, Jesus, to live a perfect life, a life of humility, where He eventually went to the cross on our behalf, so that our relationship with our Heavenly Father could be restored. That was the purpose and the mission of Jesus, to restore us to God, a relationship, a fellowship that was broken by sin. Jesus made a way for us to know God, to know Himself. So the question today is, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Interestingly, in the Gospels, in the four Gospels, there are 89 chapters, and 89 chapters speak about what Jesus did, the accounts of His life, the miracles that He did, the things that He taught, everything that He, not everything that He spoke about, but the things that we know that He taught, and the miracles, the mighty things, the acts, the places that He went to, the people He encountered. But there's only one verse that tells us about His heart, about who He really is. There's only one verse that tells us what Jesus is like. And He identifies Himself. He said, this is what I'm like. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to look at Matthew 11 from verse 25 to 30 today. So beginning in verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. Jesus is talking to a crowd, and He's teaching His disciples. He's speaking to a crowd that had gathered, and He was in the region of Northern Galilee. And Northern Galilee was the region where Jesus did most of His ministry, where He walked and talked with the people. He performed amazing miracles in Northern Galilee. In fact, it's where He fed the 5,000. It's where He fed 4,000 people on different occasions. It's where He walked on the water, where He calmed the storm, where He delivered the man with a legion of demons. Jesus did so many signs and wonders and miracles. In fact, it's in this area that He preached the Sermon on the Mount. It was a region that saw a lot of what Jesus did, but most of the people didn't know Jesus. They didn't know Him. They loved what He did, but in fact, they had no desire to get to know Him. They wanted what He could give them. And in verses 25 and 26, Jesus says, the children get it. The children that are here, they understand. And Jesus turns towards heaven and He prays a short prayer. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. It's true that, you know, as we become older, faith becomes harder. We go from being a child where we believe what we're told. We believe what the Bible says. We believe the miracles of Jesus. And then we get an education. And then we start learning more and we start reasoning. And we find out that faith is unreasonable. It has to be faith. That's the purpose. And we start filtering things through our knowledge, and faith becomes harder. believing in Jesus really becomes harder. That's why we need faith. And the miracle of it is when we say yes to Jesus, God gives us the faith to trust him. Faith is a supernatural act of God. It's not something that we have in and of ourselves. We have the promise that all who place their faith in Jesus, who repent of their sins, are saved and separate and saved from an eternity separated from God in hell. But we aren't simply invited into salvation, right? We think that's the primary goal, and yes, it is. We want to see people saved, but that's the beginning. That's the beginning point. There's more that God has in store for us. He invites us into a relationship where we get to know him and we get to grow in that knowledge of him. Daily being able to talk with him, to know what pleases him, to know what grieves him. Verse 27 goes on, all these things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus makes this statement, no one knows the Son. And he's saying it in front of his disciples. Can you imagine Peter standing there and saying, but hang on, but no, can I get a word in here? I do know you. Jesus is saying, you don't know me. They didn't really know Jesus. Even walking with him and seeing all the miracles and being taught by him for 3 years, they still didn't fully know him. But then Jesus offers this invitation, verse 28, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. What an invitation. What an incredible invitation. So different from the teaching of the Pharisees of the day, the teaching of the religious leaders of the day. They had rules. They said, follow these rules, make this sacrifice, do these things, follow and obey the law of Moses. Try to please God, labor, sacrifice, and maybe God will be pleased with you. And Jesus says, no, come to me. That's the context of these verses. That's the backstory to these verses, is Jesus is seeing people that are heavily burdened by the law, by trying to do things for God, and Jesus says, come to me, come to me. They were trying to earn their salvation through the law of Moses. And more than that, they had thousands of laws that were added on by the Pharisees to the law of Moses. And was impossible. Jesus saw the weight, the burden, the trying to fulfill the law. And he was inviting people into a relationship with the God of creation. Jesus said, come to me. And he still invites us today, come to me and I will give you rest. Something that I heard over and over again in 2025, and maybe you've felt this, but I heard it's almost a buzzword of 2025 was burnout. It was that I'm burnt out. I heard it more times in the last year than I heard in 21 years of ministry. People saying, I'm burnt out. Now, there's several reasons for that, and we won't get into that. But frequently, that feeling of being burnt out is laboring and working and trying to work for Jesus. Laboring for Jesus, working hard for Jesus, trying to please Jesus, trying to do things for Jesus, trying to please man or the expectations of man. That's a heavy burden. If you got burnt out, if you experienced that heavy burden in 2025, Jesus says, come to me. That's what the series is all about. Jesus invites us. At the beginning of 2026, he's saying, come to me. Rekindle that relationship with me. Fall in love with Jesus again, afresh, maybe for the first time. But actually get to know him. That's his invitation. Jesus goes on in verse 29, gives the second instruction. Come to me initially, and then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus says, take my yoke. Now, many of you know the analogy. Many of you know what a yoke is. And there's a picture, hopefully, there we go, of bulls or oxen that are yoked together to plow a field or to carry or to pull a wagon. And people at that time would have seen yokes everywhere. It would have been something they're very familiar with. And a yoke is very important to know who you're yoked with. In other words, a farmer wouldn't yoke unequally sized oxen together. He wouldn't yoke a calf with a full-grown bull. You need to have similar size, similar strength to be yoked together. And the yoke was built to form around the animal that it was going to go on. It was designed to fit that particular animal. It was very important that they shared the load, that both animals could pull together in being yoked together. And in the Bible, the yoke is often used metaphorically as something that was a burden. It was a weight that was put on people. Remember the story of King Rehoboam, and he just became king, and he said, what should I do? And he got advisors, and the young advisors, his friends, said to him, put a heavy load on people and weigh them down. Tell them who's boss and show them that you're the king. And he put a heavy yoke on them, we read in 1 Kings 12. Isaiah prophesies about the yoke being broken off, symbolizing freedom from oppression. So the picture of a yoke in the Bible is very familiar. And in Jesus' day, people understood the analogy that he was talking about. An easy yoke meant that the burden was shouldered between two animals. It wasn't a heavy burden. And it's easy for us because Jesus is carrying the load with us. Jesus said, take my yoke. I'm going to carry the load with you. I'm going to walk with you. When you work for Jesus, the yoke is heavy. When you work with Jesus, the load is easy. You understand that? There's a huge difference between working for Jesus and working with Jesus. Being yoked with Jesus, the load is easy. What are you doing for Jesus today? Jesus invites you to take his yoke. He invites you, and when you do, you'll begin to know him. And this is the key verse in our series. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Jesus invites us to take his yoke upon us, and we'll find rest. That's the place of rest. A lot of people think rest is just doing nothing and getting away from everything and not even picking up our Bibles, just nothingness. Right? That's not rest. Jesus said, take my yoke. Let's work together. Walk with me, and you'll find rest. How many after 2025 need rest for your souls? I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, but I think all of us say, I need some rest for my soul. Philippians 4, we read, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to be yoked with Jesus. It's a peace that passes understanding. The Lord is at hand. When you yoke your life with him, when you're yoked together with the Lord of all creation, you know the peace. You know the peace that passes understanding. We're going to come back to the yoke in a few minutes. But then Jesus continues to say, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. First we come to Jesus, then we take on his yoke, and then we learn from him. Jesus invites his hearers to learn from him. As we come to Jesus and we submit to his leadership, as we submit to his lordship over our lives, we sit at his feet and we learn from him. We learn his ways. We learn about him, what he's like, who he is. We learn his nature and we find peace. We have peace. Because the more we learn about Jesus, the more we learn who he is and his character and his nature and the things that he relates to us, the more we trust him. The more we trust him, the more we know he is able. He's able to fulfill the promises that he has for us. Think about this for a minute. Do you know what it means to learn from Jesus? What does that look like, to learn from Jesus? The best way to learn from Jesus is to meditate on his word, to open his word and to spend time meditating and reading his word, but not simply just reading it like a textbook, but inviting the Holy Spirit to give us revelation. That's his job. That's what he does. The Spirit of Christ reveals Christ to us through his word. That's the blessing of the word of God that we have. You know, every year I challenge the church to spiritual disciplines. You've been here for any number of years, you would remember almost every year I start with, we've got to do better at spiritual disciplines. And things like praying, reading the Word of God, getting involved in a life group, giving sacrificially. These are spiritual disciplines that are good for us, and I make no apology for encouraging us to do them. But this year, I'm not going to do that. Okay? That's all you're going to hear about spiritual disciplines this year so far. But I want to invite you to grow in your relationship with Jesus, to grow in knowing Jesus. All these things, these spiritual disciplines, are essential and they're good for us, but nothing is as important as knowing Jesus. I want to encourage you to pursue Jesus. The goal is not to do more things. Rather, I want to encourage us to grow and know Jesus. Verse 30 continues, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke that Jesus has for each and every one of us is tailor-made for us. Do you realize that? I cannot carry the yoke that is designed for Eric. I cannot carry the yoke that is designed for anybody else. That's your yoke. The yoke that Jesus has for me is designed for me, because he knows what I'm like. He created me. And he's inviting you to take the yoke that is perfectly suited to you, that Jesus has for you. When we read what Jesus said and we hear, my yoke is easy, we can be forgiven to think that, well, so you're saying that this Christian life is supposed to be easy, right? Everything that I decide to do will just happen. And I have no pain and no sickness and no sorrow, no hardship, no struggles in life, right? Jesus, you said it's easy and carefree. Actually, the Greek word easy that's translated here, the better fit is, a better translation is, it's a kind and suitable fit. The yoke that Jesus has for you is a kind and suitable fit for you. That's what he has for you. We apply that word picture, we get a better understanding that the yoke that Jesus has for me is perfectly suited to my life. And the one that he has for you is perfectly suited for your life. In fact, Jesus said, there's going to be trouble. John 16, 33, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. It's going to be hard, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Rather, what Jesus is saying, that take the kind and suitable fit of a yoke on you, and when we do life together, it will be easy because I'm carrying the load with you. There's a difference in trying to carry the load by ourselves and being yoked with Jesus through life. That's the key difference. Think for me for a moment for a picture of a drowning man. And here's a drowning man, he's fallen overboard and he's struggling to keep his head above water, and you throw him a life raft, or you throw him a life preserver, and he pushes it away. He says, are you kidding me? I am just struggling to stay afloat, and you want me to put this extra burden on me? This thing is heavy. You want me to put that around my neck? Are you crazy? That's what we do when we say to Jesus, no, life is hard. I've just got to get through these things. And Jesus says, take my yoke on me. And we say, no, I'm going to try to figure it out on my own. And then I'm going to please you, Jesus, by living as hard as I can for you. And Jesus is saying, no, take my yoke. Let's do it together. And we try to please Jesus by trying to do things for him. But he invites us into the easy yoke. Through the troubles, through the difficulties, he carries us. He is gentle and he's lowly. If you open your Bibles and you notice that, I skipped over these two words in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. I shared earlier that there's only one verse in the Bible where Jesus reveals his heart to us. And that's it, right there. I am gentle and lowly. It's the only time Jesus shares anything about himself, who he is, what his heart is like. Other places in the New Testament, the word for gentle is also translated as meek or humble. Jesus is the very opposite of pride. Now, you think about it, pride is wrong on us because we are not God. But Jesus is God. He is the only person in all of creation that pride is right with. And he chooses to be humble. Pride is the root of all sin. Satan fell because of pride. Everything that causes us pain and hardship is because of our pride saying, I can do this. I can get away with this. I think this is better for me. Sin is rooted in pride. And Jesus comes with completely the opposite way of life and says, I am humble. I'm gentle. Have you ever met someone? So Jesus has this humble but meek spirit, and he's not weak. He's powerful. He's all powerful, but he's composed. He's unflappable. He doesn't get easily exasperated. Now, we do know in the Bible that Jesus loses his temper, right? There's occasions when he did, but he didn't do that at the burst of the moment. This is something that he'd been seeing and building up. He was unflappable in his character and his nature. Have you ever been around someone when you're in a crisis situation, there's one person in the room just seems to be at peace, that seems to have it all together. And when that person walks in the room, it's almost like, okay, we can handle this. But when that person starts losing control, then we're in trouble, right? But Jesus never loses control. He's unflappable. He's gentle and lowly in heart. Dane Ortlund writes in his book, and the book is written all about this verse, and he writes about Jesus. He said, he is the most understanding person in the universe. The posture most natural to him is not a pointed finger, but open arms. Isn't that beautiful? The posture most natural to Jesus, it's not a pointed finger, but it's open arms. He's saying, come to me. He's gentle. He's understanding. And he's lowly. Lowly is another word for humble as well. Jesus is such the perfect picture of humility. The all-powerful creator of the universe. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. And he is humble, coming as a child. Ephesians 2 verse 8, we read, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What comes to mind when you think of someone as humble and kind and gentle? When you hear someone has those characteristics, what's the first thing that comes to mind? They're approachable, right? They're accessible. When you know someone is gentle and humble, say, well, I could walk up to that person. They're not going to bite my head off. They're not going to abuse me. They're not going to try to hurt me. They're accessible and approachable. That's Jesus. When you come to him, you'll find rest. He doesn't simply meet us where we are. He lives with us there. He abides with us and invites us to abide with him. He wants to be yoked with us. He never gets tired of carrying the burden with us. Do you realize that? You'll never find another person in the world that says, I will carry the load with you, and never gets tired of carrying that load with you. As good and kind as people are, eventually grace wears out, right? Not with Jesus. He will never give up carrying the load with you through the troubles of life. Do you know this Jesus? Do you know this Jesus? Do you talk to him? What's he like? What is he like? You know, the invitation is absolutely unbelievable. We don't get it. What an invitation. The creator of the universe says, come to me. I'm inviting you into a relationship with me, an intimate relationship, being yoked with me to walk through the trials, the difficulties, the challenges of life. Whatever lies in store for us in 2026, Jesus is saying, I want to be with you in all of it, and I want to relate to you in all of it. Learn from him. Be yoked with him. As I close, I want to invite you to release some of the burdens that you're carrying, some of the things that you're yoked to that you're not meant to be yoked to. The anxieties, the fears, the guilt, maybe unforgiveness, the bitterness that you may hold against someone, the fear, the resentment, the addictions. These are all burdens that when we carry them, we're saying no to the yoke of Jesus, because we cannot carry these burdens and be yoked with Jesus at the same time. You can't add Jesus onto your burdens that you're choosing to be yoked to. Repent of those, be freed from those, be released of those, and be yoked with Jesus. That's what he invites us to. And no one has a better yoke for you than Jesus. It's perfectly suited to you and to me. So as we close, I want to invite Rich and Ann to come up and lead us. We have some chairs set up over here on either side, and I just want to invite us to spend some time just praying and asking the Lord not only to speak to us, but if there's things that you need to ask the Lord to take off of you, things that you need to repent of, burdens that you're carrying that you're not meant to carry. One of the most difficult things, I know many of you are counselors, have been involved in counseling, is to release bitterness, the pain that has been caused to you in 2025 and even before. But maybe today, just ask the Lord, simply, I don't want to carry that anymore. I want to be released from that. I want to take on your yoke. And maybe today, just come and kneel at these chairs, kind of as an altar that we have set up, to spend some time just praying as the worship team leads us. And give it to the Lord. Begin this year with a commitment to get to know him. That invitation is a beautiful invitation. There's no better New Year's resolution. There's no discipline that we can do, no goal compared to knowing Jesus. Not simply knowing about him, but growing in a relationship with him. So let's pray together. Would you stand with me as we pray? And as the worship team comes up, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Jesus, we thank you for the promise of your word. We thank you for the promise, Lord, where you said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Lord, we need rest for our souls. We need a fresh revelation of what it means to be yoked with you. So Lord, today as we close, we gather to almost prepare to leave this place, Lord, I pray that you just slow the moment down so that we could spend just this important time taking your yoke upon us. Lord, I pray for each and every one here today that's carrying burdens that they don't need to be carrying. Lord, you just remove those. Supernaturally work in our lives today.